Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Live Up to Freedom on FPC Radio, hosted by Inez Annie Cyrus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Live Up to Freedom program on FPC Network. My name is Inez Annie Cyrus. I will be your host tonight. We are going to have two very special guests tonight. You are all familiar with Toni Bugel, founder of Maria's, and she's also standing for the English Democrats in the 2016 Bedfordshire Police and Crime Commissioner elections from UK. She has been with us before. We also have another very special guest, Caitlin. She is a survivor of mass grooming in the United Kingdom, and she will be here tonight to share her firsthand experience and also to tell us of her concerns of the refugee crisis and what it could mean to the safety of more girls and women. But before we bring them on, as always, I have promised to go ahead and give a question and answer section. I have had a few questions sent my way, so I will cover those until we bring our guest on. The first question is actually a very great question, I think, and I was asked how can you, my supporters, help me? Well, I have said it many times. Every help is appreciated on my end. We are always looking for volunteers who can volunteer their talent and time, because what we do at Live Up to Freedom takes a lot of research. There's a lot of educational material that we put together to turn them into pamphlets, booklets, videos, and all of that. So that's one format. We are also asking for anyone who has time and also has the knowledge of technology and social networks to help us with our, you know, Twitter accounts, Instagram, Facebook page, blog, website, all of that. And obviously another way you could help us, if you like what we have and if you can afford them, it would be great. You will have a very nice T-shirt or a hoodie, and it will be a great financial help to us. And you can see all our apparels on teespring.com/stores/LUTF. All these links are available on Live Up to Freedom Facebook page and also my Facebook page. That is most of the help I can think of. I'm really scared of saying we also do have a PayPal page where we are accepting donation. The reason I'm very scared is I have had many backlashes when I ask for financial help. But for those of you who are all right to help us financially without anything in return, just because you believe in our cause, you can go to paypal.me/LUTF and believe me, every single dollar does help us. Every single dollar gets us a step closer to taking the next step and getting our message out there. Now, to the more, I call them technical question, is I had this question sent to me saying, I would ask Americans who are confused by disinformation from I'm not going to repeat that, but I would say just our mainstream media and government, what part of love does Islam's instruction manual illustrate? Well, I will agree with that question completely. As you all know, I have been constantly saying that not only Islam is not a religion, also it is definitely not a religion of peace. It does, it does introduce love. It does. However, it's only love toward your Muslim brothers. And this word of brothers is very important. Very, very, very important. Reason for that is because there is no love for women either. As a Muslim woman, you don't get much love either. Because the reason you were created as a woman is to satisfy a man. And also, you know, have kids so you can continue the generation of Mohammedans or Muslims. Excuse me. So, yes, that is correct. I would like to ask that also, that where have you seen the love and peace within the Islamic societies, books, Quran, Hadith? Because I personally have been bringing a lot of videos and podcasts and posts on my social networks, channels, anywhere I can, and I have talked about them. I have said that there is no love, there is no peace, there's a lot of hate. And considering I was raised in an Islamic country, I was given the teaching of Islam as well. So I was taught to hate. Now, I didn't, because I guess I was lucky or I was gifted to know the difference. But they do teach hate. Now, I don't want to take too much of the first segment because the guests that I introduced at the beginning, first of all, they are very, very dear to my heart. Secondly, they are both brave women who are speaking out. They are sharing their own experience to try and save other people's life. And when I say that, by the way, I don't necessarily mean from killing, no, because one thing I want to explain that a lot of people seem not to understand is when a woman is raped, you have taken a huge part of her life. So also helping women and stopping future victims is part of saving. That being said, we do have our special guest on. I will introduce them one more time. We have Tony Bugle, founder of Maria's, and also she's standing for the English Democrats in the 2016 Bedfordshire Police and Crime Commissioner election from UK. And we also have a very, very, very brave Caitlin. She is a survivor of mass grooming in the United Kingdom, and she is here tonight to share her firsthand experience and also to let us know of her concerns of the refugee crisis and what it could possibly mean to the safety of more girls. Ladies, are you with me?
I'm here.
Hi, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Hello, sweetheart. We've got Caitlin here too.
Hi, Caitlin. Caitlin?
She definitely said she was connected.
Unfortunately, I can't hear her.
Caitlin, maybe it wasn't her. We're having trouble getting her connected. That seems to be the biggest problem we have.
Yes, we seem to have a little bit of technical difficulty, but until we work on that, Tony, before you come on, I was actually explaining and I was talking and sharing to my listeners about the fact that this is not necessarily, it's not necessarily when we say we are here to save lives. It's not just from people being killed I was explaining how rape can take away a huge part of a woman's life. And until we can get Caitlin on the line, if it's all right with you, would you start with, because I know Maria's, first, if you can explain a little bit about Maria's, again, for my listeners, and also you have heard so many stories of women who suffered this inhuman act. So if you can, you know, shed some light on that matter in UK for my listeners until hopefully we can get Caitlin on the line.
Yep, that's absolutely fine. We, Mothers, well, Maria stands, it's an acronym, it stands for Mothers Against Radical Islam and Sharia. I started it, probably just over a year ago, and so far I have over 2,000 supporters on the page, and I've done quite a lot of interviews, and the reason I started it up is because I myself, as you know, I was raped, and I know the devastation that rape does. This forced me into a position where I couldn't stay at home and ended up living homeless as a runaway. I wasn't raped by a member of my family, I will add, just in case anybody assumes, because people have a habit of assuming that they know your life story when you haven't even had a chance to tell them your life story. But I did encounter Pakistani men who were pimping out a 12-year-old girl. And she and I became very good friends. They'd got her hooked on drugs. She was severely attacked one night. I managed to get her some help, which took her out of the, obviously, out of the state of play, so to speak. They decided that her debt now became my debt. They regularly managed to catch up with me, and I was beaten on several occasions. I spat at. I was called a white whore, white trash. Their intention was that her debt was mine, and I was stamped on, kicked, punched, dragged by my hair. I did manage to escape, but I was very lucky in that respect. Not everybody's as lucky as that. And I'm not going to sit here and say that my life was lucky, because it wasn't. And it was a real uphill struggle to become a survivor instead of a victim. Because it's a state of mind that you become where the abuse you suffer becomes normality. You don't know how to say, you would understand this, Anna. You can't separate yourself from what you're used to. You're used to abuse, you're used to being treated in a certain way, and in a way you kind of have that mentality that that's normal, until sometime something inside you just clicks and tells you it's not normal and it's not acceptable, and that you know that this is not what life is really about, which I'm sure you must have experienced yourself with what you went through.
Well, true, but you see, one thing that a lot of people are not really understanding, sadly, is this division that has been created. And you know, Tony, I am so against it, this division. I have heard it, that in Europe, we even had it recently in U.S., where the Muslim men are targeting let's call it white woman, as they call it. And not only it's been covered up, they're not caring. And I'm going to say it clear and loudly. The government is not caring for the victims. They are so worried to take care of the rapist and, let's call them, Muslim refugees who are satisfying themselves and doing Allah's work, that people don't even know one-tenth of what's happening. There are videos here and there. Your website was taken down. Am I correct?
Yes, my website was taken down. On top of that, you are right. In Europe especially, I mean, I can only obviously speak for Great Britain, but we've seen it in Sweden. We've seen it in Denmark. We've seen it now in Germany with Tara Hush, where predominantly white, and I have to say predominantly white because we've had girls in this country that are Sikh, Hindu, and Muslim girls that have been raped. But predominantly, it's white girls. And just in fact today, I heard on local radio a Somalian man who had attempted to force his advances. In other words, he had tried to kiss multiple women on a train. And didn't matter how much they kept pushing him away, he would go up and he would approach the next one and he would try and force himself on the next one. And when he went to court, his argument that he used is it wasn't his fault because it was cultural differences. Now, if it's a cultural difference, then your culture doesn't fit for the culture of my country. And he walked away. Again, he walked away. We've had police officers that have been too afraid to address the issue because of political correctness. They feel that, you know, that there are a set of guidelines that they are told to follow. And those guidelines are that you don't... if a Muslim is involved in a crime and you have to go and search the house, first contact the imam. Well, no, let's not do that. Let's not give somebody a heads up if he's a criminal. Say, for example, you've got to go and search the house again. You are expected to wait outside to give the Muslim woman an opportunity to cover herself because obviously she can't be seen by another man's eyes. Well, these are police officers. They're there to do a job. They're not there to attack your wife or even look at your wife, but they are there to do a job. They are also told to put coverlets. They are, one of the guidelines is to put coverlets over your shoes. This is little covers over your shoes so as not to offend. No, if I believe there's a crime going on, why would I take time to put covers on my shoes, giving you an opportunity to guard evidence? Then you've got another guideline where our dogs, because they don't want dogs in the house, they have to put covers on the dog shoes. They are forbidden to touch a so-called religious book. Well, quite frankly, I don't see a Christian, when a so-called Christian who does something against the law, they don't go in there and say, do you have a Bible? Because if you do, we won't touch it. It just doesn't happen. We can't keep having one set of rules for one person and another set of rules for everybody else. There has to be equality for everybody, and everybody is equal within the eyes of UK law. But how can that be when you have Sharia law acting as a quasi-legal system in the UK where it's running parallel with our UK law, but yet it contravenes everything that our UK law stands for. Women, they say, well, they have access to UK law. Well, it doesn't matter whether they have access to it or not, because do you honestly think that a Muslim woman is going to step out of the realms of what she's told is acceptable and go and speak to a police officer? Well, of course she's not going to. So Sharia law is operating in this country, and this ignorance that it's not, it literally just drives me nuts. And when
that's exactly the division I'm talking about.
Yes.
You see, if it's about a Muslim, don't say anything. You're going to offend them. But if they come and rape your wife, your daughter, it's all right. Don't get offended. Well, why? Exactly. Why are we doing? Are you scared of them? Or are you in love with them for all the money they are bringing to you?
Well, when you look at the money situation, and let's face it, half of our country now has Sharia bonds. I mean, I say half of our country, maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but there are very vast buildings, large buildings in London itself, which are now being, they've now been all done via Sharia bonds. The Shard, I believe, is owned by Qatar. Canary Wharf has now been bought by Saudi. We've got Uber taxi drivers where there's no safe way for a woman to travel in a taxi. I mean, I'll be honest with you. My mother's 71 and she's frightened of getting into a taxi. you know, and then that doesn't mean to say, I mean, an incident today, this sounds insane when you say it, but there's a little local shop. Now, I live in a very small place. There's a little local shop that I went to, and the lady behind the counter who was serving, she looked quite upset. And I sort of said, yeah, you're all right, mate. How are you? Like you do. And she said, where were you 2 minutes ago? I said, well, what's wrong? She says, well, a man just came in, and she said to him, do you want a receipt after he purchased his goods? And he looked at her and gave her a really filthy look, and she said, is there a problem? And he said, did I give you permission to speak to me? And I went, he said, what? Who in the hell does he think he is? If I'd have been there 2 minutes earlier, see, because she works in the shop, she works behind the counter, the customer's always right, she couldn't say anything. But I guarantee I would have pulled him up sharpish. I would have turned around and said, I don't know where you think you are, but this is England, and you will treat women with respect. But the trouble is, how can you ask people to treat women with respect when they don't respect their own women? They're sure as hell not going to respect the likes of me, or you, or Caitlin, or anybody else. They're just not going to do it.
That's exactly the point of where I say, I don't know if you saw my video this morning, Tony, but I made a video, and my biggest complaint was that people, I'm not talking about governments, but people are basically just buying into whatever is being, you know, given to them. They watch the TV and they just believe whatever is said. And then on the other hand, there are people like me and you. By the way, just a side note for my listeners, if you are not following Maria's page or Tony's page, I would suggest you check her page out and take a look at her videos, because she does bring a lot of good points on her end as well. But the point is, Tony, we sit there, we make the video, we go through the emotional ups and downs, and we get it all out there. It's either getting shut down, taken down, or here's what happens. It's too long, it's too short, you mispronounced this word, I can't understand that word. Let me get this straight. Your audio was hot. You get what I'm saying? This is I cannot blame this one on the government. This is our people doing it.
This is it. This is exactly the problem. And one of the things that you and I have said, how is it that both yourself and me, we can put up a selfie and we can get, you've got far more followers than I have, and you can get a few thousand likes and comments and, you know, men telling you how beautiful you are and how hot that picture is, and yet put a link up and ask them to listen for more than 20 minutes, and suddenly it's like you've asked them to move the mountain, quite literally, which frustrates me, because it's ridiculous to think that we can't get people to understand that if you can sit down in front of Britain's Got Talent, you can sit down in front of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, you can sit down in front of The Voice, X Factor, and all of the other rubbish TV, Celebrity Big Brother, which is full of non-celebrities, you will sit your backside down every night solid for an hour. Put a video out for 20 minutes and I get the same thing. Can you make it shorter? Make it 6 minutes. No, I'm not going to make my video 6 minutes. Make your attention span longer than 6 minutes, because what has to be said cannot be said in 6 minutes. And yet, put a picture up and everybody wants to come at 100 miles an hour. And it's just insane. It's absolutely insane. And the worst of it is, they're missing vital, important information.
Well, that's exactly the point. You see, my complaint comes from, here's the thing. You want it to be under 6 minutes. Let me tell you something. When a woman goes through rape and grooming for days, months, and years,
mm-hmm.
you don't get to pick the timing of the story. When you do, you prove to me that humanity is disappearing from society. You get the chance. And yes, actually, I'm in the mood for...
Call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 9196.
Do we have Kate in there?
No, we don't yet. I have no idea what happened here, but we apparently somehow dialed a voicemail of somebody. That was interesting.
Maybe it's people trying to get in and sort of listen in. We know how our services all like to listen in on everything we say, and I do believe that Facebook are trying to silence everything we say and do. I don't believe in the, you know, in Facebook targeting one particular person. I think they target certain articles, anything that has certain words that trigger an alert. I mean, I think you were on my Facebook the other night, and when you went on it, it told you I had absolutely no statuses whatsoever. So it was letting other people see them. It wasn't letting you see them.
Yeah, I was saying complete blank, white page, just with your name and your cover. But what I was saying before we, suddenly dived someone, but the point was, you see, I get this, oh, you complain too much. Well, yes, I will. I was compared, this is kind of, this might come out wrong. And, you know, Tony, I'm not afraid of saying what's on my mind. So here we go. Somebody came on my page and said, well, you know what? You attack your supporters. I said, no, I don't. No, you make videos where you attack your supporters. I said, no, listen to me. When I attack, I don't attack my supporters. I attack people who pretend to be my supporters. There's a huge difference here. And he came back with, well, guess what? We have other ladies who are, you know, extremely active, and he gave me a couple of names, and they never attack their supporters. Here's what I said. With all due respect to all the ladies who are active out there, but the names that they were given to me, none of them were actual victims of Sharia law. I take a step forward and I say, my first 15 years of life was taken away from me. I was put in prison. I was sold to a marriage. I was raped. I was lashed. I was forced to flee my own country. So I get to bitch. I get to attack my pretenders. The people who support me, they know, you know what you tell me. All I have for them is appreciation and gratitude. But people, exactly, who come and complain about the duration of my videos, the audio has humming, it has echo, it has this, it has that. You misspelled a word. For God's sake, English is my fourth language. And forgive me if I sometimes misspell something.
Listen, I'm the first one that giggles at you when you mispronounce a word. I love it. I think it's great. I think the fact that you speak English as well as you do, I know English that don't speak English as well as you speak it. So, but you are wrong. One thing that I picked up on that you said a few minutes ago is that what people that haven't experienced it can't understand with rape is whether you are raped for 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 months, you are raped for a lifetime. It will never go, even as a survivor. You are a survivor and you'll get up every day and you'll find a reason, a positive, a reason to smile, a reason to go on, whether it be your children, your animals, your mother, your father. You find a reason to keep going, because if you don't, you've let those that did what they did control your entire life. It doesn't stop night terrors. That doesn't stop me waking up in the middle of the night and finding that I'm in a corner of a room like a child weeping. This happens to me. I'm not ashamed to say that that happens to me. It does. And I'm probably the mouthiest female you'll ever come across, because I am all blonde hair and bad attitude to a degree, with all good intentions. But that doesn't mean to say that the scars, the mental scars that are left, the emotional scars that you are left with, you will carry with you for the rest of your life. Yet we've got men here, they are walking away scot-free. absolutely scot-free. By scot-free, because I know you won't understand that, Annie.
Oh, yes, I do.
You get, you see, you would, because you've got Scottish connections, I believe. They are walking away scot-free. They're not, they're coming out of this smelling of roses. And what are you sending? What message are you sending to a rapist that if you do this, I mean, there was 12 people were sentenced over the last few weeks for a historic grooming of a girl from Rotherham. Now, these 12 men got 100 years between them. Now, everybody went, well, bloody done, so bloody should. No, now split that up between 12 people. That's less than 10 years each. You get out, you serve half your sentence. Then you get time for good behaviour. Good behaviour. You'll be lucky if they serve 3.5. She will serve a lifetime. Those men will be lucky if they serve half of their 10-year sentence. How is that justice anymore?
Well, that's the thing. There is no justice. That's the division I started my bitching with. And that division, yes, the government started it all. I will go as far as saying that. However, we the people are letting it go on and on and on and on. You see, excuse me, I hear this whole, if I see this all over the place, and if anybody tries to touch my daughter, I do this and that.
Yep. I've lost you there. You disappeared for some reason. So I'll keep talking because at the moment there are technical issues. We've been trying to get Caitlin on. Caitlin's having a lot of technical problems and that's been a real pain in the bum at the moment. I shall have to have words with her about that. But as I say, we have got the problem where we've got men walking around away with ridiculous sentencing and people cheer when there's a conviction and somebody is convicted and found guilty. And it's great that they're found guilty. And I suppose to the girls, at least it's acknowledged that they were telling the truth. They weren't lying. You know, what they were saying was the truth and people now believe them. But what kind of world do we live in where nobody believes a child anymore? Caitlin, I know because I can guarantee, because I know Caitlin very, very well. I've been supporting Caitlin for the last 3 years. And when I first met Caitlin, she was shy, withdrawn.
Sorry to interrupt, Tony. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, darling.
I just love this technology being against us today.
All I can say is, you see, these women should never... We're great at a lot of things, but technical things, sometimes you just need a man.
No, it's just funny. I'm sitting here talking, and I'm like, everybody's saying we lost her. Apparently, I'm talking to myself. Woohoo! That was fun. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt what you were saying, but I just wanted
okay.
to...
It's okay. I was just holding the fort.
All our lovely listeners, I would like to introduce my lovely co-host, Tony Bugle. Thank you, Tony, for saving me there.
It's what I'm here for, to save the world.
You see, this is what we need to do in real life. I'm not kidding. This is what we just need to have each other's back in real action, not just "I'm with you" sentences behind the keyboard. In real life, we need to start having each other's back. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I got too excited there. Go ahead. Continue.
I like it when you get excited. That's the passion I love about you. It's the passion you love about me. What I get angry at is the passion you see of somebody. Now, I see the word keyboard warrior frustrates me because there's a positive and a negative. I know a lot of people who are disabled and have health issues, and they want to get the information out there. So they share the information. That's a good, powerful keyboard warrior. Then you've got the idiot that comes on, and whether it be male or female is irrelevant. They come on, they bang away at the keyboards. We need to do this and we need to do that. And I will say to them time and time again, excuse me, what exactly is it you are doing? Tell me. Tell me what you are doing. Don't tell me what you think everybody else should be doing. Tell me what you're doing, because my campaign is out there. I've asked people to donate just a single pound, so I can stand for Police and Crime Commissioner, so that I can turn around in this area, at least of Bedfordshire, I can turn around and say, no more political correct policing. Not one more girl will be ignored because of political correct policing. But can you get them to actually donate £1? It's the price of a tin of beans. Smoke one less fag. Or as you Americans say, cigarettes, because you'll all get confused when I say that. And then we've got to be careful with that. We have to understand that this is a problem, that people have to stop banging away on your keyboard in temper when you're given an opportunity. Annie's got an opportunity to go and give a seminar. And you all want to... I saw people, Annie, I couldn't believe it, actually having a go at you for asking people to donate so that you could go and give a seminar to educate people.
Oh, yeah, that was such a guilty part of mine.
No,
I couldn't believe it either. I'm like, really?
God. I was actually guilty a little bit that night of being a keyboard warrior, because I wanted to actually smash my fist through the screen and drag him through the screen and say, are you for real? Do you think people like me and Annie live rich lifestyles? Because I can assure you, neither of us do. We are not rich people. I am a working class girl who has disabilities. I suffer every single day in physical pain, yet I still get up every day and I get at my backside out to try and make a difference. And
yes,
all you want to do is criticize Annie.
But here's the thing, Tony. Apparently, the suddenly the human nature hits and it's like, if you believe in your cause, you should do it on your own. Okay? And then the next comment was, if you don't have money to get a hotel, sleep on the street. Uh-huh. Okay. First of all, I got fez balls on my head. I might as well just grab a gun and shoot myself.
Let
you
me explain that word. That
people.
Word you tried to pronounce right was fatwa.
No, actually, the correct Arabic of it is fatwa.
I think the trouble is a lot of people. See, you're pronouncing it correctly. This is my point about when they make comments about you not pronouncing a word correctly. Well, we're not pronouncing a lot of Arabic words correctly, but yet we're all out there trying to do our bit. Stop criticizing us. That's how insane it's got that you and I have got to battle with people and say, ignore the fact she's got a little bit of an accent, because I've got a Cockney accent, and I guarantee off of what I say, the Americans go, I have no idea what that chick just said, but it sounded really good. Badly pronounced, but sounded great. I guarantee that I say things to you and I know I'm mispronouncing them because you've corrected me. I'm not offended.
No, you know, sometimes you can just guess the meaning. It's not about perfection. As I said on my page, we're not here to pass English classes. And I actually come up with this kind of rude way. I'm like, okay, I invite you to a challenge. If you can get anywhere near close pronouncing 3 Farsi words, I will go take English class. Because it's not about the accent. It's not about the writing. It's like... it's way beyond that. It's our children's future, people.
It's this is the other thing. They've got to get this into their heads, Annie. They have. They've got to understand that. You know, I'm somebody's... this is a ridiculous thing, okay? I'm somebody's daughter. You're somebody's daughter. These girls being raped are somebody's daughter. And not just girls. There are boys that have been raped. Believe you me. And I got pulled up by quite a lot of Americans who had this real hang-up about the word, use of the word feminazi. Which kind of annoys me because I'm not a feminazi, but I am a feminist. But I don't hate men. Quite the opposite. I want men to stand up and say, do you know what? We will defend the rights of women too. And women need to do that. But if every time you and I speak up, somebody's going to class us as a feminazi and therefore we shouldn't be taken seriously and nobody should listen to us because we're really bad people because we apparently are feminazis. How do we fix that? How do you, seriously, you can't fix stupid.
Well, yeah, you could. I say that everything is fixable. The only thing is I can reach them physically because you can shake a stupidity out of people.
Well,
you can. No, seriously, that I'm not kidding. You grab all of these people who don't get it, grab them, put them in a plane, send them off to Iran. Let them leave for 30 days. I promise you, they will be fixed. They will be completely fixed. They will go in there, and the way they're going to be treated will remind them what humanity means. You see, one other thing is, truth be told, the West has been so spoiled by freedom. It's just given to them. So it's not even anywhere near tangibly understandable for them that such a thing could ever exist. Now, it is in Europe, in a way it is in Canada, in a way it is in U.S., that they are attacking the freedom. But still, it hasn't been long enough for them to hit them. Now, again, we're not generalizing. We're not saying everybody. We're talking about those who are not getting it, those who still stand in front of me and say, listen, you cannot hate everybody. Well, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate any. Actually, everybody knows I'm a loving, you know, goofy, happy girl. Don't ask me how. I just am.
No,
but
she is.
I hate Islam. Sharia Islam is what I hate. That's not a person. That's not a race. It's actual ideology, an evil ideology. But, Tony, I quickly actually want to, it seems like because of the technical difficulty we're facing, we need to, you know, switch the segments from first segment to second. But, ladies and gentlemen, we will take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Wolf DeVere, and I am taking the Take Back America Challenge. What is the Take Back America Challenge? Well, the Take Back America Challenge is taking back the love, the honor, the respect, the integrity that comes with being a proud American. Is this taking back America for the right or for the left or for the liberal or the conservative? No. It's taking back America for Americans. You see that flag flying over my shoulder, folks? That flag is flying because of the last breath of every man and woman whom ever served, whom is serving, and whoever will serve.
Hello, my name is Inez Annie Cyrus, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
Hello, my name is Jeff Sharp, and this is my Take Back America Pledge.
This is Tina Waterworth, and I am accepting the Take Back America Challenge.
This is David Hansen, and once again, I'm taking the Take Back America Challenge.
Ben Waterworth, and I'm going to do the Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Julie, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Chase, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Colin Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Eve Waterworth, and I am glad to be doing the Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Gavin Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Joyce, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
My name is Stephanie Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge.
Please repeat after me. Place your hands over your hearts. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hi, my name is Caden Walker, and this is my Take Back America Challenge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ha ha ha. I like classy men.
I like a man who is into sports.
I like athletic men.
I like a man who is fun.
I like classy men.
I like smart men.
I like a man who's trendy.
I like a muscular man.
I like clever men.
I like a man who is sensual.
I like a man who's well-dressed.
I like a man who is well-dressed.
I like a man who is well-dressed.
I like a well-dressed man.
ModaItaly.com, Italian fashion made affordable.
ModaItaly.com.
All proceedings are donated to FPC Radio.
You are listening to FPC Network. Make sure to tune in every Monday for Operation Reintegration, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Tuesday, The Wolf Den at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Every Thursday, Patriot Pride at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Every Friday, The Sharp Edge, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And every Saturday, Live Up to Freedom at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And every Sunday, The Rebel Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Call in at number 929-477-3101 and make sure to follow us on Facebook at FPC Network.
Within every moment is the possibility to experience the feeling of oneness and connection that is love. When we take a moment to close our eyes and take a breath, we can feel the connection to the air outside and around us as it enters our body and becomes us. Every one of us is connected to the world in this way. We are deeply connected to each other in this way too. When we feel close to someone, we feel love, despite distance or time. When we feel connected to someone, we are experiencing love.
She's buried chest high. Her arms can't stop the stones that fly or wipe the tears that have already dried for a crime she so persistently denied. She's buried chest deep. The moderate's asleep no matter how hard she weeps. Worth half a man, her testimony's cheap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with such a fair rule. Dictators of history couldn't be so cruel. Told by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching us Allah's divine referendum. What becomes of those who have a sip of rum, drinks to forget or wants to be numb, or those who play a game of chance, poker buddies escaping the religious trance? Allah's prescribed in His merciful script, their flesh be ripped, their blood be dripped at the tip of a Muslim's whip. She's buried chest high. Her arms can't stop the stones that fly or wipe the tears that have already dried for a crime she so persistently denied. And this is Allah's eternal reply. 1400 years of backwards law, a tragic flaw of the primitive claw. The tribe of homosexuals, kom lut as they say, Sharia is clear on how they should pay. The price for their gay display life doesn't matter which way. Abu Bakr got them with a tumbling wall. Ali, Muhammad's cousin and son-in-law, had people burned for their sexual call. An entire village, children and all. She's buried chest deep, the moderate to sleep. No matter how hard she weeps, worth half a man, her testimony's cheap. Apostates, remember those who have bled to speak the words Muslims leave unsaid. Killed for the sake of those misled, submit now or be left dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with such a fair rule. The devil himself couldn't be so cruel. She's buried chest high, halfway deep, while the moderates are still fast asleep, while the world stands silent. Her testimony's cheap, stones thrown by religious sheep. Witches were burned long ago till the flame of freedom began to glow and we learned to say the word no. No. Know that your laws are unjust, not worthy of respect, only disgust, beheading those with a knife thrust. Oh, but in Allah we so blindly trust. She's buried head high in a heap of stones. No more crying, no more moans. All that's left is skin and bones. Allah has come up with such a fair call, the true justice of Sharia law.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Live Up to Freedom program on FPC Network. You're with me, Tony?
I'm here, sweetie.
I never can stop listening to this voice that we just heard, but at the same time, I just can't bear listening to it. This is so weird, I know.
I think you need to listen to it because you can't ever be allowed to forget it. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I wish more people would listen to this every morning. Seriously, it talks. I don't know the lady who did it. I wish I did. I would find her wherever she is. I would give her a big hug, and I would say, I adore you. You're amazing.
She's amazing, and powerful. The words are powerful. They hit home, and if people don't listen to it, how are they ever going to understand it? And I saw a young girl in Hyde Park who was with me at Maria's who read that out, and I got her to do it in a different way. I got her to do it angry because that's how I feel when I hear it.
Yeah, let's make sure our listeners know where to look for it. If you want, go to YouTube, type in Sharia Law, and the name of this clip is She Is Very Chest High. It's hard to listen to, but I think, yeah, Tony's right. We need to listen to it over and over and over. And we need to, I think instead of the prayer thing they do at the mosque, we should find a system where we can play this loud on the street. That would be a good way to go out.
They'd love us for that. I'm sure if I went to Tower Hamlets and played it, they'd be really chuffed with me.
Oh, absolutely. And now the great news is we are able to bring Caitlin on Arab. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
Oh, it is so great to hear you finally.
I know. It's really annoying trying to get on.
I know. Technology does not like us, love. Before we say anything, you already know how much I love and adore you, but that aside, you have no idea how much it means to me that you are on my program today. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Tony, would you like to get us started, please?
Well, let's start. Where should we start, Caitlin? I met Caitlin around, I think it's coming up for almost 3 years now, Caitlin.
Yeah, a while ago.
It was. We was introduced by, Caitlin had been speaking to another lady, actually, who was in America. And she wanted her to have some support here because Caitlin wasn't in a good place at the time. Not emotionally, mentally. So we got into contact with each other and we met up and we started to talk. We chatted a bit on social media to start with. And Caitlin then sort of opened up to me and started to tell me what had happened to her. And that's where I'm going to ask you, Caitlin, to try and tell us in your own words. And if you do struggle and you stumble, that's fine, because we're all allowed to struggle and stumble, because that's what me and Annie are here for. We will pick you right back up.
Okay.
So
where do you want to start?
How old were you when it first started?
About 14. When I was trafficked by Muslim grooming gangs. Sorry, I don't know how to start off. Yes, I was groomed by a Muslim grooming gang, well, quite a few of them.
Okay.
I don't know where to start it, sorry.
Okay, because I obviously know your story really well, I'm going to try and sort of do it in a way where we can work together, like we do everything else, we work together. So, for everybody who's listening, Caitlin was 14 years old. She was quite shy and retiring, I think you'd agree, Caitlin?
Yeah, very, very shy. I stayed home most of the time. I didn't go out with friends. I just preferred my own company.
And you then were raped in your own home. Was the first time it happened?
By a guy called Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was his real name.
Okay. And this was because he promised you a modelling contact, didn't he?
A modelling, yeah. But I didn't know what sort it would be. It turned out that I had to take off all of my clothes. And he took pictures of that. And he used those pictures to blackmail me into seeing his friends.
But when he took those pictures at the time, because I can remember you and I talking, and obviously questions that you had in your own head, and we were saying, you know, that there was that moment you sort of froze and you didn't want to, and it was this persuasive, almost bully boy tactic of making you feel you had no choice.
And he was 6 foot something, a big, stocky guy.
So you felt intimidated by him, I assume?
Yeah, I was home alone with him. My parents were at work. My brother was at school.
So that first time, obviously you were very brutally raped. And your brother had come home, if I remember rightly. Sorry?
Yeah. In my parents' bed.
That's right, because you didn't want to show him your room because it was full of toys, basically.
Yeah, like Disney store soft toys.
And so he made you go into your parents' room and he raped you in your mum and dad's bedroom.
Yeah.
And he... Your brother had come home at that point, didn't he? And that's why, even then, you just froze. You couldn't even say anything because you didn't want your little brother. You didn't want him to see anything.
No, what I'd done, I got up and held the door shut. He'd come home with some friends from school. And I told him not to come up. I'd just gotten out of the bath. So I wasn't dressed. And as I turned round, Daniel had taken off all of his clothes and told me that I better be quiet because he said my brother would hear and then my parents would find out what I'd been up to.
And that it would all be your fault?
Yeah.
Now, so when that sort of happened, he used that, didn't he? He used that as a really good opportunity to then... bring his friends and get his friends involved, yeah?
Yeah.
So what sort of happened from then?
The blackmail with the photos worked for quite a while, probably about over a year. And then after a while, it stopped working. So he resorted to beating me instead. He resorted to beating me instead because the photos didn't work anymore.
Okay.
Sorry, I've hit a blank there.
That's okay. So basically, he started beating you. That was the first thing that when the photographs didn't work anymore, he used violence, yes? Okay, and from there, how was it that you ended up involved with Muslims that were literally pimping you out?
His friends were Muslims, mm-hmm. most of them. And there was one guy, I can't really use his name, that took over, quite a powerful person. And he would just show up at my parents' house or at my school to take me off to see his friends. And it would be between 6 and 8 men each time I went. in the space of about an hour or so I had to sleep with. I was taken to hotels, flats, houses, takeaway shops.
Okay. And what do these men do for a living, a lot of them?
Most of them are taxi drivers.
And we, you would agree that we actually, in the UK, we do have a lot of taxi drivers involved in these grooming gangs, these Muslim grooming gangs, up and down the length and breadth of the UK.
Well, I know over 100, and most of them are taxi drivers.
And can you remember when you and I was talking, and I know that the listeners are sitting there thinking, yeah, I've worked with Caitlin for a long time, so you have to kind of, she gets quite nervous and she stalls. So please bear with us, because I think it's important people hear what she has to say.
Can I jump in real quick, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Just to continue what you just said, for the listeners, from my own experience, I can tell you what she's doing right now. To you, it might be a talk. It's not a talk. It takes a lot of courage to even mention what happened to you, let alone trying to get into details. And as Tony said, if you're not hearing a fluent conversation going on, the reason is, one, all three of us on the line right now, all of us have experienced this in different formats maybe, but we all have experienced this life of Sharia, I would call. We all survivors. However, at some point we were victimized by Sharia. And that being said, there are times where you need to take a moment, breathe, and continue going on. So, yes, she's right. Please bear with us, because what you hear is important to hear, because we need you to know this is as real as it gets. I'm sorry to interrupt, Tony. Go on.
No, not at all, sweetheart. So, as I was saying, Caitlin, you were asked a question once, whether you could name or whether you could number how many Muslim men raped you over a period of time. Can you remember what your answer was? And I think this is where people need to understand that this is how bad it can and is getting in this country for many, many girls.
I know of over 100 in my own city. I couldn't give you an estimate altogether. I don't know.
And that was exactly what I was going to try and make the point of, is that you were raped by over 100, to the point where you actually, it's impossible to count the numbers.
Yeah.
And what were some of the things that these Muslim men would do to you? And I'm going to keep reiterating the word Muslim, and I know that there are many people that get offended. And quite frankly, because it offends me. So, what are the kind of things did these men used to do to you?
I've been cut by them. I've had a knife held to my throat while I was being raped by a guy who told me he was going to kill me and put me under his floorboards that nobody would know, because he was going to Pakistan in the next week. I've been hit with a chain.
I'll take a breath there, because I know that it's not an easy conversation for anybody to have, and this is what I want people to understand. Caitlin wasn't beaten once. She was beaten multiple times, on multiple occasions. In fact, pretty much every single time. And although you can say there was over 100 that raped you, they all raped you on more than one occasion. If you multiply that number, it's to infinity. This is a lifetime of torture in the space of a few years, and it went on for quite a long period of time, quite a few years, didn't it?
Yeah, about 16, I think.
Do you remember there was an occasion when your parents did try to intervene?
Yeah.
I won't
yeah.
say who, but a. What were you referred to as when your parents tried to intervene?
A known prostitute, and that was by the police, I will say it.
Okay, and how old were you at the point that the police claimed you were a known prostitute and you would grow out of it, was the word they used, wasn't it?
They said to leave me to it, I'd stop when I'm ready. I was 15.
Now, the next thing I'm going to ask you, it's going to seem, for listeners out there, almost an unbearable thing to hear, is you also suffered something else on multiple occasions. Can you remember having that conversation with me?
I was peed on.
Mm-hmm.
I've had lots of STIs from them. And several abortions.
And we will add they were forced abortions, were they not?
Yeah. Yes, I was taken to various clinics.
Now, something you said to me once, stayed with me, it's never left me, was you wrote something to me once, and I remember you thinking that you were just angry and ranting and letting off steam, and I said, what you've actually done is for the first time in your life, you've laid the blame firmly at the feet of the people it belonged to, and that was the rapist, teachers, social services, police,
doctors,
the council that ignored when they knew that there was a problem. And that seems to be something that's happening right across the country. Now, as you know, whenever I say that girls are being ignored and that we have had over a million predominantly white girls, I am often called a liar and that I am exaggerating. Do you think that it... Because we know that it goes back 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Do you think it's still happening, Caitlin?
I know it is.
How many of those men who did that to you still live in and around the area that you live in?
Most of them. And they're still driving taxis.
And nothing was ever done to try and address the issue or to stop it.
No.
Now, when I first met you, there was something, we met and we were wandering along, arm in arm, like girlfriends do, and by girlfriends I mean best friends. And we were giggling, but you would do something that you thought hid you. Do you remember what it was that you call your stealth mode?
My hoodie.
How would you wear it? Can you remember?
Yeah, with my hood up, so no one could see me.
Can you remember what you showed me?
Yeah, my scars.
For obviously for listeners who can't see, because obviously we don't have the ability to transmit imagery. Caitlin has scars on her arm which look like somebody has tattooed bright red barcodes up her arms. Now, this was from self-harm, wasn't it, Caitlin?
Yeah.
What did you hope when you first started to self-harm? What was you hoping would happen?
I'd done it to make myself less attractive to the men.
Did that work?
At first? No, it didn't. One of them actually cut me while he was raping me. No, it didn't work at all. And then I started doing it as a punishment and sort of a release.
Do you remember what I told you they were?
No, I don't, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to repeat it because I'm going to keep repeating it until it sticks in your head. And I said to you, they are your battle scars. You may have lost a few battles, but you haven't lost the war. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When we first met, obviously, things were very different in your life. You weren't in a good place. And you rang me up one night because you thought I'd be cross with you, which I can't think why you would think I would ever be cross with you. Can you remember what you thought I would be cross for?
Yeah, that was July last year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I took an overdose, quite a big one.
So what I wanted to try and get people to understand is that even after all those years, it was still going on, it was still happening. Do you feel you are still a victim or are you a survivor?
I'd say a survivor, no. I don't have my body much anymore.
That's my girl.
That's my
say that again, lovey.
I said, I don't wear my hoodies so much anymore. I don't cover my scars up.
And so now you're on the road to, you are a survivor. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. I told you that when I first met you. You were a survivor or you would have not been here one way or another, whether it was them that took your life or you. But either way, something inside you was already fighting back. You just didn't know it. Do you think that being involved with Marius has benefited you more than the so-called counselling you were getting, or less?
A lot more. Marius was the first organisation that actually helped me, because there's nothing for girls like myself.
Can you try and describe, if you can, what is the difference between talking to somebody like myself and going to see a counsellor?
With yourself, you actually do give a shit. Excuse my language. And I know that if I call you, you're gonna pick up if I need you. A counsellor, they're getting paid. They want to know, yeah, how did that make you feel? They're not really interested.
Do you think that's because a counsellor who may or not have been raped can't really show empathy and understanding because they haven't actually suffered it? So how can they understand it?
Yeah, they can't.
So the best people... So what is it you now hope to achieve in the future? This is something I want people to understand, that when you become a survivor, you fight back in so many ways, it's unbelievable. And what is it you're hoping to actually achieve and to become?
I'm hoping to do a course to become a counsellor, to be able to help girls in the same situation as I've been.
And if we could have it, I'm sure there would be a massive round of applause right now, because that takes real courage. I don't know if Annie's sitting in the background. Annie, if you want to come in on this, because, you know, we are all survivors, every single one of us, and every woman out there who's gone through this, and every man who's gone through this, every boy that survived this, We are survivors.
Yes, we are. And yes, I am sitting here. I am listening. And it might sound weird to our listeners, but I have the happiest heart at the moment. As hard as it is to listen, as much as it gives pain to me as a human, it makes me so happy to know that, first of all, I feel so honored to know Caitlin, and I'm going to thank you for that. Because, yes, Tony was the one who introduced me to Caitlin. And I'm so proud of her. Because, as you said, Tony, when we become the survivor, when we wake up every morning and we find a reason to smile and get out of the bed, is when we are winning the fight. And yes, we all... And Caitlin, that was for you.
Thank
that
you.
Was yours, love. Yeah, we fight back in our own ways, but we do fight back. And for my listeners, what Caitlin just said, the fact that she dealt with what was done to her, and what was done to her is pure evil, to my point of view. It's inhuman. And guess what? It is a big part of Sharia law. And nobody can argue over that reason. You are listening to three women. Are we strong? Absolutely. Are we brave? No doubt about it. However, we went through what we went through because Sharia existed. And the reason we are all fighting is because we do not want to have any more Tonys, Caitlins, or Annies. We want that to stop. No one has the right to do that to another human being. Now, do we have some nut job out there who's psycho and does it? Yes. Can we stop them all? No. But when it comes within a teaching of, so you call it religion, we call it ideology, that ideology needs to be stopped. There is no explanation behind the fact that the police calls Caitlin at age 15 a known prostitute. Oh, hell no. This had nothing to do with her in any shape or form. This was not her fault. And one of the reasons I'm very proud of her is because she knows that and she owns it. The fault goes to the people who did it, to their ideology, and then to the government, the system, and the police. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we the people need to stand up and say enough is enough. Our daughters, our wives, our mothers are not damn properties. So you either do something about it, or we will get busy and do something about it ourselves. I'm sorry if that sounds violent, but it is what it is. Every day, there are more and more victims. And yes, at the beginning, we were all victims. We had the strength and help to become survivors. But Tony, would you agree with me, not every rape victim is reaching out to you?
Absolutely. We've got more and more. I mean, as I said, I've had men contact me too. On the whole, it is predominantly white girls that are being targeted. I've even had a girl contact me who my daughter actually was friends with as a child. And there are more and more girls coming forward. But this is why I'm standing for Police and Crime Commissioner. It isn't because I want some fancy schmancy job, because believe you me, I don't. But if it's the only way that I can actually make a real change and start change happening, then I will do it. And if I lose, well, then you watch Maria's go hard and ass at it, because I will not be silenced. I will not be re-victimized. I will not have anybody take away what I fought so hard to get. I won't have them take it from Caitlin or from you or from every other victim that has contacted me. And the numbers, people think that these historic cases are all they are. They're still happening. Right now, out there, right now, a girl is being raped. Right now, a girl is being taken to some filthy, dirty flat, just as Caitlin was taken to. And they are being beaten and tortured and raped and humiliated and urinated on. And even to the extent as Caitlin suffered herself, where they would ring up their wives. And the wives weren't having a go at them. They were abusing Caitlin. This is happening to a girl. And do you know what? If you've got a daughter, if you've got a son, if you've got a child, if we can't protect them now, then we will never protect them. We have to do it now. And that is Caitlin's dog.
I'm sorry. Caitlin's I have to laugh at that dogs. All the time. Yeah, she does. But I will add just one little thing in what you said, Tony. Yes, every minute a woman or a girl is being raped, tortured, even killed. Mm-hmm. And I will repeat this over and over. Reason, corrupt government plus Sharia law. We don't have one fight on our hands, people. No, we don't. We got to fight Sharia law, and then we got to fight our corrupt government. We need to stand up. Everybody needs to be vocal. You need to say it. As we said in the first segment, just being a keyboard warrior doesn't get us anywhere. We all need to say it together. I made a video a while ago, and I asked every supporter of mine to keep repeating after me. Islam is not a religion. Islam is not peaceful. Islam is an ideology. All three of us here, in our own way, have suffered under Sharia law. And I repeat, we survived. Not everybody does. This, in a way, is a happy ending story. But remember, for each one of us, there are 10 stories that we don't even know about.
And they will keep coming. People have to understand. They've got to grasp this. We have an open border policy. Sharia is now inside our government. It's inside my government. Our government is corrupt. We don't need to get rid of a democracy. We need to get rid of the political elite. And we need working class people to step up and be prepared to put your money where your mouth is. Because I'm frankly a little tired of people saying what they would do, and what I'm going to do is, maybe what I'll do is, well, do you know what? Shoulda, coulda, woulda, never got the job done. So let's get the job done.
Amen. To
that. Can I have my round of applause to that, please?
I was kidding. Here you have it. Woohoo! Yes, and Tony and Caitlin, just in case if you are not looking at the chat room, I want you to know that we have listeners who are sending their thanks, Caitlin, more specifically to you. They are thanking you for sharing this, and they are mentioning that you are amazing, you are strong, and you are brave. So I want you to know that you are being heard. People are listening.
Thank you.
And we all love you. We do. I can't say how much I love you. But you know how much I love you, because I keep sending you this like crazy sticky thingies on Facebook saying, I love you.
Parts and stuff.
Hey, listen, she can't say anything because she attacks me with memes now. She actually found out I didn't tell her how to do it. I was sending these memes with her name on it, and I was writing all these things, and she wanted to know how to, and I wasn't going to tell her because it was my secret. And she worked it out, and she bombarded my inbox with memes. She has no sympathy, and I love her completely for it.
I know. But I hate to say this, but we are coming to an end of this program. I have to repeat this. I don't know for how many days I'm going to keep repeating this. Caitlin, I love you and I adore you for who you are. And I am so proud of you and I will always be proud of you.
I love you too.
And thank you on behalf of myself and all my listeners. We greatly appreciate you coming on program and sharing your story, because it is a very important story to be shared. Tony, love. You know,
yes,
I never get enough of you. So
absolutely.
You and me, we will have a discussion. You are going to come back again and again and again and again, because there's a lot more we need to bring to our listeners. There's a lot more to be said.
Yes, there is.
But for today, I want to thank you as well for coming. This would not happen without you. So thank you for being here and getting us through this program. For our listeners, thank you so, so very much for staying with us, for listening. Next week, same time, I will be with you and tune in. I want to make sure that we will hear the closing song, all of us. So I will cut myself very short. And Caitlin, you know that already, but the coming song, the closing song of this episode, was dedicated to brave women like you. So we're going to close out. But stay safe. Stay vigilant. Love you all. Lots of
respect. I love you both.
Love you both.
Love you, love. Bye-bye.
Let out the truth. We need you to tell. Take off the mask. Come out of your shell. Shame don't. Not thirst to sell. You are precious, with a lot to tell. Remember your beauty, buried deep within. Let go of demons, freedom's not a sin. Don't you feel alone, let new life begin. To tell.